Western New York sports giant, WGR. This is a Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update.
All right, here we go, baby. With the 20th overall selection in the 2026 NHL Draft, the Buffalo Sabres are proud to select from Miami University, Ilya Mrazek.
That's right, the Buffalo Sabres had two selections in the first round, and that was one of them. Center Ilya Mrazek from Miami University of Ohio was taken 20th overall. Meanwhile, the Sabres also held pick 4, which they acquired from the Chicago Blackhawks in the Bo Byram trade. They took defenseman Daxon Rudolph from the Prince Albert Raiders of the WHL at number 4. The Sabres were also busy before the draft even started, acquiring defenseman Olin Zellweger from the Anaheim Ducks in exchange for forward Anton Wahlberg and the 45th overall pick in this year's draft. The draft continues today in Buffalo at the KeyBank Center. Second round is already underway, almost to the third. The Sabres hold picks in the 4th, 5th, and 6th rounds. We'll have coverage for you all draft long with Joe Calley reporting from the arena and Paul Hamilton reporting from One Bills Drive where the Sabres are set up. Elsewhere in the NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs, as expected, they took Penn State forward Gavin McKenna with the first overall pick. Vancouver Canucks, who just hired Manny Malhotra as their head coach, they took his son Caleb with number 3. Lots of trade action yesterday. Along with the Sabres trade, the Rangers got Pavel Dorofeev from Vegas for picks 26 and 92 and a 2028 first rounder. Boston acquired former Sabre J.J. Paterka from Utah for a pair of first rounders. St. Louis trades two of its picks to Anaheim for Mason McTavish. In baseball, the New York Mets have fired manager Carlos Mendoza, replacing him with Andy Green, who takes on the interim title for the rest of the season. And going into the final day of group play at the World Cup, there are essentially 8 teams vying for 4 spots in the round of 32. Tournament co-hosts the United States, Canada, and Mexico have all advanced, along with France, Germany, Spain, Portugal, Brazil, and Norway. U.S. will face Bosnia Herzegovina on Wednesday in Santa Clara, California, while Canada will head to the Southern California to face South Africa next Sunday. This update is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile since 1935. I'm TJ Luckman for WGR, Western New York's sports giant.
The NHL Draft on WGR is being brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods.
Welcome in, hour number 2 of coverage of day number 2 and the NHL draft. Again, our coverage is brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Derek Kramer and Brayton Wilson here with you in the Amherst studios. We've heard from Paul Hamilton out at Orchard Park, Joe Calley in downtown Buffalo at KeyBank Center. TJ Luckman is on the board. Zach Jones will join the program around 2 o'clock. Most of the names that you were hearing talking yesterday are going to be here talking today with the NHL draft. The Sabres, meanwhile, though, we're not going to hear from them for a little while here. We're still nearing the end of round number 2. The Carolina Hurricanes have a second selection in round 2. They finally made a pick at 51, by the way. Good for them, I guess. But the one thing that's going on now is some of the smaller names are being moved around. Brandon Carlo, the latest player traded from the Toronto Maple Leafs to St. Louis.
Cool.
And that's some 2 third-round picks. I wonder what the price was for Toronto to get a guy like Brandon Carlo, because that seems like fair market price. 2/3?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah.
Sorry, Toronto. No. I don't mean to do it to you, but at the same time,
a guy named Fraser Minton had to go back to Boston. What?
And there was also something about a first-round pick that now gets punted a year later, which I guess makes it kind of acceptable. But 803-0550 is the number to call. So we got a lot of time to kill between the Sabres and their next selection, again, in the fourth round. Brayton, do we know what pick overall that one is going to be? I'll buy you some time.
I believe that is 124, if I remember correctly.
We're in 57. I know the NHL draft moves a lot faster than the NFL draft does.
124.
Yeah, so selection 124. We are at 57. So
they pick three times today. They pick 124, they pick 156, and in the sixth round, they pick 188.
Cool.
And that's it.
Those are numbers far away from here.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's fine.
It's totally fine.
And that's why we've got time to talk with you. Like I said, 716-803-0550 is the number, as we'll get our opportunity to talk with any of you. If you're a little nervous about the fact that there were a lack of major additions made last night, are you happy with the prospects even? I think that you get a player that was a point per gamer. Yeah, it's the WHL where scoring is a little bit more prevalent, but good size, right shot defenseman. Seems like he's a good kid. And then Ilya Morozov, who as a 17-year-old played college hockey last year and will continue to do so at the University of Miami, Ohio. Or is that Miami University of Ohio? I don't know how the proper way to say it is. It's the Miami University.
It's Miami University.
It's Miami University in Ohio. It's not the Hurricanes, okay?
It's not the
I almost
University
I feel the need
Miami.
To inform people that that is what I'm talking about when
yes.
I say it live.
Yes.
It's not. It's like I'm not trying to hoodwink you. It is in Ohio.
Yes.
It's the one that's not in Florida. It's the one that's in Ohio. I'm like you, TJ. I feel the need to include Ohio.
We all know the true athlete that came out of Miami University in Ohio.
Oh, we're doing this again.
We know the true athlete that came out of that university. It's Kevin Adams.
You were going to give me too much time to like look up a player from the University of
There's another one that's much
Ohio.
More prevalent yeah. that you that should.
I was thinking about being the lazy one and saying Ben Roethlisberger.
It's
but,
Ben Roethlisberger.
I was like, maybe I should go find yeah. someone nope. else just for the fun of it.
Nope. Kevin Adams is the true athlete from Miami University.
Wrong. It's Ilya Morozov.
Yeah, so. It truly is. It truly
but I
is.
I like Morozov at 20. It was a player that a lot of us seemed to gravitate toward once the Sabres had acquired 20. It's like, oh, it's probably to get a player like Morozov. That's a lot of Sabres Twitter was saying. It's a lot of what people were starting to gravitate towards was either him or Novotny were the names I was hearing the most of. You had mocked Novotny to Buffalo. He went a couple picks later. But Daxon Rudolph.
Yes.
So let's talk about what ultimately happened with the Bo Byram trade.
By the way, Carolina's making a trade out of their
Oh
pick.
My God. Find a new shtick. You really are the Buffalo Bills of the NHL, aren't you?
Well, another Eric Tulsky masterclass.
Yes, but
sure.
Carolina has a championship. Two of them, actually. The one doesn't count.
Hey, I'm talking about recent history with Carolina and their comparisons to Buffalo. No, so just, maybe that means Buffalo wins one now.
Maybe. Maybe. That would
anyway.
Be nice. If that's the case, then okay. I'll call the Hurricanes the modern day Bills.
Yes, yeah, so the Bills.
The Bills win the Super Bowl this year.
So let's talk about Daxon Rudolph and Bo Byram. And ultimately, we have now the full package in terms of the trade for Buffalo with Bo and Byram. It is Daxon Rudolph, Louis Cervier.
Yep.
And then Olin Zegleger.
Yeah.
Because that second round pick that is included in the Byram trade, along with Greenway, it ends up helping you land Zellweger, a player that comfortably looks like a second-pairing defenseman, puck-moving, swift-skating, has some trouble in his own end every now and then. And all those traits that I hear, I think of, you're describing to me Bo and Byram. And here's the thing about Zellweger. I don't need him necessarily to be Byram.
No.
In terms of like exact productions, I need him just to be himself because Zellweger has a lot of the similar traits that Byram does. Byram's a little more refined. He's been in the league for a couple more years. But with time, and I'd imagine Owen Power probably will end up playing on the right. Lindy Ruff might like his left rights, but the organization, the way that they're currently facilitated and constructed, you have left-handed shots and two of them can play on the other side and it'd be perfectly fine.
And those two players are your stalwarts on defense in Dahlin and Power.
Yep.
Both of them can do it. Dahlin wants to do it. It's actually his preference. So Zellweger joins the Sabres' superpower, so to say, and he carries a lot of the traits that Byram does.
I wouldn't be surprised if Zellweger plays on the right side. I know that.
I mean, you got to
Power
learn.
Is more likely to play the right side.
You got to learn both ways there when you play for the Buffalo Sabres, because left-handed shot defensemen.
Yeah.
They just happen to be great players for the Sabres rosters.
With how much the defense is actively engaging in the play, Olin Zellweger seems like he's the perfect fit for what Lindy Ruff, Jarmo Kekalainen are looking to have with this modern-day team. Just because Zellweger is one of the more smoother skating guys that are out there right now that maybe haven't hit that like point of their career where, oh, hey, I'm going to go out there and, you know, be the best player I can be. I think there's still more to Zellweger's game. And it seemed like in Anaheim, especially towards the end of this past year and into the playoffs, Zellweger was not the type of player that fit into what Joel Quenneville and Pat Verbeek were looking for. They wanted to be a more physical team. They wanted to be more tougher to play against. Zellweger's only 5'11". And he skates around and is super active and offensive from the back end. Don't rely on him to be a super good defensive defenseman. That's just not his style of play. But for what the Sabres are looking for and what they feel that they needed to replace in Bowen Byram, Zellweger is a nice little gap, you know, a fill gap for 2-3 years, however they want to do this, until they find that guy on the right side. That's probably Daxon Rudolph, maybe Radim Mirka, maybe Adam Kleber, maybe Maxim Sturback. Like Zellweger's going to play. He's going to be here 2-3 years. But for the value they got, great. It's an awesome trade. It's going to help out in the short term right now. But the long term is, unless they're trading these guys to acquire other assets to help the team now, I think the long term is to have guys like Kleber or Daxon Rudolph or even Radim Mirka develop into those guys that can be your right side defenseman and key players on the right side to help play with Power and Dahlin and whoever else is on the bottom pairing as well.
And you know what's interesting here? Because, you know, fair or unfair, a player will often get comped to the guy that they ultimately replace within the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Zellweger ages 20 through 22, his first three seasons, fairly comparable to Bowen Byram's first three seasons in the National Hockey League.
Sweet.
In terms of your point production, your time on ice, they are fairly similar. The only difference with Byram is that he, in his third season, started to really ramp up the average time on ice into the 20s. Zellweger has not yet done that with his average time on ice in season, but he's consistently around like an 18 minutes for a young kid. He'll have an opportunity, as Jarmo Kekalainen said, to compete with Crevier to play next to Owen Power. Good. So one of the two pieces from the Bowen Byram trade is going to be seen as relatively responsible for taking the minutes of Bowen Byram. That already tells me there's a good value there. And then the other player will end up playing on the fourth pairing. Okay. And then you've got Timmins, Metsä probably competing for that other spot. Good. Sounds like my defense is already taken care of. Sign me up.
Cool. Yeah.
And what it did, though, I thought more importantly, was you needed to get that settled first. You did not have as immediate of an answer in the organization for the minutes that Bo Byram skates. You needed to fill that role first. Mission accomplished. Do I expect that Zellweger is going to one for one do what Byram did, which is tick up the production and comfortably get into 20 minutes a night? Maybe not. It's unfair to assume those sorts of things, but it's not illogical to think this, though, because you acquire a player because you think they might be able to actually help out in that instance. It's why you get them. It's why you trade for them. It's why you trade the second and the prospect that you did in Wahlberg to acquire the defenseman in Zellweger. the Sabres think this kid can do it. And I don't run the team. Who am I to argue? I just have a microphone and start yapping all the time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be something where, all right, one of the two defensemen acquired effectively from the Bo Byram compensation for a player that everybody learned was not signing long-term in Buffalo. That is a good return. Oh, by the way, you also got Daxon Rudolph in this, who will probably be the long-term fixture to that roster hole. So you got three defensemen to fill the void that Bowen Byram is effectively leaving now and in the future. It's a pretty good trade at that point. Chicago gets immediate help to try to actually get things going so that Connor Bedard doesn't say, I'm out of here. Fair. I think Chicago fans, looking at everything right now, you take what has been acquired. Does it look like the fleecing that it was now when we first looked at the trade? Not really. Now there's a logical side to both parties. Because I think Chicago fans would absolutely say, I'd rather have Bowen Byram than Daxon Rudolph. But the more the days go on and extensions not announced, the more nervous that Chicago will end up getting. Because Darren Ferris is notorious for this. I don't need to do this thing anymore with Ferris. He's not with a Sabres client anymore. But both sides now can look at this trade and go, okay, I understand. The Sabres got stuff for now and the future for Byram.
Yep.
Who was not going to stay.
Exactly.
And Chicago gets a player who right away is going to step in the lineup and be their number one defenseman. Will Byram live up to it? Well, he better hope so.
He's such a perfect complementary defenseman. He's the perfect third defenseman on a team. At best, he's a second defenseman. But hey, if he wants to go in and try and prove to a team or anyone that he is a number one defenseman, absolutely he should have that opportunity. And he's going to with Chicago. Is Chicago going to be biting themselves in the end? I mean, if I had a crystal ball, I probably would say more likely than not that he's going to. But that's not to say that Byram goes to Chicago and ends up being significantly better and actually being a number one defenseman. If that's the case, great. I just look at what Olden Zellweger could do in Byram's place. And I'm kind of like trying to do like the comparison, the advanced analytics comparisons of like 5-on-5 play. Thank you to naturalstattrick.com. And yes, Zellweger's role with the Ducks was a little different than Bowen Byram's was with the Sabres. But looking at some of the percentages, some of the advanced stats, like Zellweger's is fairly good. It's better than what Byram did. But again, Byram was more so relied upon to be a two-way defenseman with maybe a little more offensive upside, whereas Zellweger is solely just more so an offensive defenseman who just skates around everywhere with the puck and makes plays. And that's great. And that's what the Sabres could use, is somebody like that. Who's solely more so like that. If he ends up playing with an Owen Power, Power can kind of be that two-way presence that he was very much relied upon to be and excelled at over the course of last season and into the playoffs. This is just it's a nice gamble that the Sabres are taking with Zellweger. And even then, I don't even know if I want to call it a gamble. I just think it's a nice move for them to add a piece that I think could immediately step in and add a different element to the defensive group with the Sabres, but also not entirely change it up.
I like that you mentioned Owen Power by name and a little bit more in extension. He is a calming presence for a lot of players on this team. Power has stabilized into nothing is going to go wrong if he's on the ice. The point production was not necessarily there in the regular season. And it's the second half of the season that Power really forms his game. Calming presence, great reach with a stick. In the defensive zone, he becomes one of their most responsible players on the entire roster. And in the playoffs, we see the production hit again. The point production's back for Owen Power. And you look at that evolution and you go, you heard about how Kekalainen waxed poetic about wanting to sign Byram long term after the season ended. But knowing that that was not going to happen ultimately, Owen Power refining his game in the second half of this season and really turning it on in the postseason, which was a real challenge for a player that a lot of people around here will see as not physical enough for the frame that he presents. And Power steps up to the moments in the playoffs where it is more physical, where it is, you know, a little bit more tough and grind it out. But Power does just fine. As a matter of fact, produces better than he did in his rate of scoring than he did all season. That's a calming presence to have for a 22-year-old that's going to enter his fourth season in the NHL. And his third full season. We were talking about games played, as Jarmo uses that as the measuring stick for defensemen. Having Owen Power by your side, or Matias Samuelsson, or the occasional Rasmus Dahlin, based on how the Sabres deploy their guys, you could be walking into a lot of locker rooms with a worse situation for someone when they're trying to find their legs in a new spot. Brayton's pointing to the TV. Why?
Sorry. Not to
help me out. Your point.
Yes, Joe Aginla. That is Jerome Aginla's son. Just got drafted with the first pick in the third round.
Another son of Jerome Aginla.
This one,
Joe,
goes to Calgary.
And actually, Jerome Aginla's daughter was recently drafted in the PWHL draft in the second or third round. So the Aginla family is doing well for themselves right now.
Yes, last year, Tidge Aginla goes to Utah.
Two years ago.
Yep.
He was their very first draft pick. TJ Ginla was their first pick, sixth overall.
So, hey, there we go. And the TV is focusing on it on the draft board now, zooming in ever so slowly on his name. But good moment for the Ginla family. Again, you mentioned Jerome Ginla's daughter was drafted by the PWHL.
Yeah, sorry. I did not mean to take you off of your point.
No,
with
you're
Owen
fine.
Power. I wanted to point that out because I
was kind of wrapping it up, honestly.
It was good timing.
So, the other thing about this is Crevier.
Yeah, Louis Crevier.
One of the problems that the Sabres had, and at the trade deadline, a lot of us were asking about was, okay, can somebody come in here and help the third pair? Can somebody come in here and stabilize us so we can take some minutes off of the Sabres' superpower, let them ease up for the postseason? And Logan Stanley, let's call it at best mixed results. And
that's fair.
And at worst, does not play in the final games of the postseason.
Right.
So
the speed of Montreal killed him.
And that's the thing is that.
And maybe Stanley, he was hurt.
Stanley did get a little banged up. He does miss a game with an injury, but and then gets scratched for game seven. The Sabres also planned on the majority of the postseason being like the likes of a Boston or a Tampa or,
yep,
you know, a Carolina, teams that they would have to grind it out more capably with. The one team that Stanley really didn't match up well with was their second round opponent.
Yeah, Montreal.
And that's sometimes how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have a game plan. You think that it's going to go one way, and then when it doesn't go the other way, you still are confident that you can handle it.
You play against the players that are up against you.
And even then, you know, they try to put Luke Shen in for a game. And actually, Luke Shen fared okay.
Luke Shen fared fairly well for the game that he plays in the postseason.
But, like, Zach Metsa probably was the better matchup in the Montreal series to have him in on a consistent basis. And he only got in for game 6 and 7.
And in game 7, he plays less than 5 minutes anyway.
Which again, is beyond me, but okay.
Well, I mean, game 7, you're probably feeding your top four.
Oh, if yeah. They're healthy...
If they're healthy, run them.
Yes.
If they're healthy, you run them in.
Even though Owen Power was playing on half an ankle.
Yes, but half an ankle came with one of the prettiest plays of their postseason.
Yes.
Their final goal.
Yes.
Of the year.
Yeah.
So, not bad.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, like, I think Louis Crevier, based on what I've seen and read and heard about him, he, for the guy of his size, first off, for him to be a seventh-round pick and to be in the NHL the way he is, that deserves a nice
golf
clap.
That's already good on you.
Any team that is able to develop a seventh-round pick into an NHLer, that is
like they get one game and you're like, that pick was worth it. And for Louis Crevier to be able to come up to the NHL and play a full season in the NHL, that deserves a huge round of applause. And for Chicago to move him in order to get Bowen Byram, good on them. I know they also gave it the fourth overall pick and another pick as well, which, you know, that's another thing with the fleecing point of it. But Louis Crevier, to me, looks like he could be a guy that could play nice bottom pair minutes, doesn't have to be relied upon to be this all-world defenseman. He could probably play some penalty kill time if you really desperately need him to.
I wouldn't even say as a desperation. You probably comfortably can put him on the penalty kill and see what he's got.
And just take some time to look up some tape with Louis Crevier and just watch a little bit.
And Crevier, my last point. Sorry, Brayden.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Crevier, he's not going to have to be leaned on to lead the defenseman in scoring.
Yeah.
Like he did in Chicago.
Yeah. Crevier is also a very, very smooth skater for his size. He gets around the ice incredibly well. So, yes, he's physical. He's not afraid to drop the gloves, although don't expect him to be Logan Stanley, where he's going to drop the gloves and fight every other game. But he's a guy that I think that you could rely on to play some key, valuable minutes when you got a guy that, you know, maybe you don't want to play so much. And I think that's a thing where the Sabres might have bitten themselves a little bit in the rear end last year, was the fact that their top four guys, they played constantly, and maybe it cost them them to get banged up or caused them to be a little tired, whatever. They still managed to get to game seven of the second round, which is very impressive. But a guy like Crevier can come in, play 12 minutes a night, 13 minutes a night, even a little more than that if you want. And I think he can handle it more than just fine.
His average ends up at 17 right now. Yeah. So, hey, we'll see between him and Zellweger what happens with Byram's minutes. But if you can look at both of those players and see if you can get production there, that's not a bad thing to look at.
I like seeing Zach Metzen in the lineup a little bit. Give him some more minutes.
What do we do with the Tuck situation? Well, let's talk about that next. Yeah. Derek Kramer, Brayden Wilson here with you. TJ Luckman on the board as day two of the NHL draft. And our coverage of it is brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's a place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Beagle, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. 716-803-0550 is the number to call if you need to take a stab at anything from the Sabres. Are you nervous about the lack of additions? Well, don't worry. We're here to help you out here on WGR.
Obviously, the numbers speak for themselves. He's got great offensive ability. I personally saw him play in August at the Linka-Gretzky tournament with Team Canada, and I was impressed there. But then, that's a long time ago, and our scouts follow him all year. But he had great productivity in the Western Hockey League. He's a big guy and got some jam to him, too. Grit, plays hard. But his instincts are great. I think that's the biggest thing that we like about him, is that it's not just the physical ability, but it's his hockey IQ. His instincts are great, and puts another really good defenseman into our future.
Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen talking about the fourth overall pick, Daxon Rudolph.
You know what's funny, Derek?
The Western Hockey League.
You know what's funny? My one somebody on Instagram brought it up to me yesterday, shortly after the pick was made. I jokingly saw the video of Drew Scherza, the Wing King, with the prospects, where he's asking him, do you choose blue cheese or ranch? Okay, go ahead.
How do you jokingly watch
a
video?
Sorry. Let me rephrase. I was watching the video.
There we go.
And it was a video of Drew Scherza asking the prospects with their wings, blue cheese or ranch.
Yep.
A lot of them were saying ranch.
Overwhelmingly.
Blue cheese is bad. Ranch, ranch, ranch. All of a sudden, it got to Kalyn Malhotra. Kalyn Malhotra is just like, I normally do ranch. And he's just like, and then Drew Scherza is just like, okay, but you're in Buffalo, so you're going to blue cheese. He's like, that's right. Next guy up was Daxon Rudolph. Mm-hmm. And Daxon Rudolph understood the assignment. He dipped it in blue cheese right off the bat. I saw that, and I took the video, and I shared it on my story on Instagram and said, Daxon Rudolph at fourth overall, book it.
You
tongue-in-cheek, I did that.
You jokingly posted something like that.
I jokingly posted that. And then they took Dax and Rudolph, and I had at least two people message me and be like, what did you know? And I was like, nothing. I did not think they were going to take Dax and Rudolph.
That just shows strong character.
Yes. Great character guy. He understands the assignment that if you're in Buffalo, it's blue cheese.
I wouldn't even say necessarily character. That's a cerebral player right there. That's a smart player. That's a guy that understood where he was, learned the assignment in his brain within seconds, and was able to process it at a high speed. That's an intellectual player right there.
But Anthony Bourdain level move.
But now he's going to be in Buffalo, and if he develops and makes it to the Sabres roster, he's going to become that type of person that will just put blue cheese on everything.
Well, or he's just a smart player, and you know, like that's something that you want in a hockey team, especially for a young kid, is a smart player. We'll be watching the University of Denver with vested interest this year.
Why not? And
Miami University as well because of Ilya Morozov. I'm fascinated by Morozov's story, by the way.
It is a cool story.
It's a cool story.
Very, very cool.
He comes over here and learns English in a fast manner.
Mm-hmm. 15 years old, he came over from Russia.
And he's been playing against people older than him now his entire hockey playing career.
In North America, yes.
Including, but not limited to, his first season with Miami University in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Always have to clarify that.
And he doesn't look out of place. That's the thing.
He didn't look out of place. He had solid point production. You know, you're not going to give him like the gigantic... You're not giving a 17-year-old the gigantic role unless he's like Sidney Crosby, which, I mean, if you're being picked at 20, you're not necessarily that.
And Morozov, we'll say it again. I know we've said it a lot, but we'll say it one more time. He was the youngest player in college hockey last year to start the year and end the year in the college hockey. Because Tynan Lawrence has the same birthday as Morozov, but came into college hockey halfway through the year. And, there was another prospect that came in, like, that's August 13th birthday or something like that. That, still, doesn't matter. Morozov was the youngest player, considered the youngest player in all of college hockey last year. And he did not look out of place as a 17-year-old. As a young 17-year-old.
And college hockey is a little different than your other college sports because you'll sign players or... bring scholarships to players that had played a full career in major junior.
Yeah, it's a difficult... college hockey is difficult. It's guys who are playing as 19, 20, 21, even 22 years old who are bigger, who are physical. It's more closer to the pro-style game than you're going to get in the Canadian juniors, than you're going to get in the U.S. juniors, that you're going to get in any junior level. And for a lot of these guys growing up and building up their game to get to this moment at the draft... A lot of players who are playing college hockey already have that immediate just, you're above a lot of these players just because you're playing college hockey at the age you are. Now, they did recently change the regulations for college hockey, so I think a lot more of these 17-year-olds that are leaving high school early to go play college or whatever, I think that's going to be less often now. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Morozov types players, not going to be seen too much more because of their changes, but... Like, I'll take stock in college hockey players, and if you can at least look competent and look like you belong to play there. Like, Morozov, that's why Morozov was such an intriguing player for me. It's just because of the fact that he was playing college hockey, mind you, at a program like Miami University, which is an okay program. It's not great. But the fact that he was able to play as well as he did there, that stood out, and that's what made him a first-round talent.
And that's exactly the thing, is you're going to end up with an interesting situation in that with college athletics. And I wonder, like, do you hit the transfer portal to a better school for your development purposes? I don't question for another day. When it comes to NCAA,
there is a transfer portal for college hockey. It's nothing like the NFL, but
it's nothing like footballs or anything like that. But no, I do wonder though, like in that sort of thing, like just to have fun with it. Let's see, transfer them to Michigan State. Everyone's going there. super team it.
Man, yeah, Michigan State is going to be stellar because of that. I got something here fun for you, Derek. What's up? We got a few minutes before we have to hit the break. So according to hockeystats.com.
We like hockey stats.
So they've got the draft order here, and they have a little category. Percentage of becoming an NHLer compared to percentage of becoming a star NHL player. Do you want me to run down the list of what their projections are?
Are we talking about our Sabres prospects here that we're drafting?
Sabres prospects, the guys before them. So I'll give you McKenna, Stenberg, Malhotra, and then Rudolph.
Okay.
So both McKenna and Stenberg are 99% NHLers,
we don't have to worry about
greater
the
than 99%. Gavin McKenna is rated at 92% becoming a star,
right,
likely to become a star. Ivar Stenberg, 82%.
Okay.
That checks out. That's fair. Kayla Malhotra, 83% projected to become an NHLer, only 13% to become an NHL star.
For the third overall pick, that's a little tough.
It is. You want to take a guess at what Daxon Rudolph is?
No, because I'm going to get it wrong.
Point percentage to be an NHLer, 95%.
Okay.
Likely to be an NHLer. A star NHL player, 35%.
Not bad.
That's so, not bad at all.
Not bad. I will take NHLer immediately for the fourth overall pick.
And honestly, like, I know that yesterday when we were on and when Daxon Rudolph was the pick, I kind of reacted like, man, I don't know about taking Daxon Rudolph right there. It's not like I didn't like the pick. It was more so just I thought that Chase Reed or Carson Carroll's were a better defensive prospect than Daxon Rudolph. That's just my personal opinion. And Chase Reed and Carson Carroll's both 98% likely to make the NHL, with Reed and Carroll's as potential to be star defensemen in the NHL, only 2% apart, 56 and 54.
Yeah, it's something where the defensive group right at the top of the draft seemed like it was pretty well, like, you could pick whatever style you want for a player. You're going to get a good prospect with one of these defensive guys.
All right, and I'll give you Morozov real quick. So Morozov, 20th overall, percentage-wise to be an NHLer, 63%.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Percentage-wise to be a star, 5%. So, like, as long as Ilya Morozov gets NHL time and becomes probably a middle to bottom, you know, bottom six player, that's great. That's fine. That's all you really need.
If you get an NHLer at pick 20 that has longevity within the National Hockey League, that is kind of around what you should be getting at pick 20, is an NHLer, middle six player, comfortably, you know, comfortably a second liner is what you would like.
And you want to know, and you want to know what? I could name 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players that were drafted before Morozov that have a less percentage of becoming an NHLer than Morozov.
And obviously, these things are not guarantees, anything of the sort. So,
and it's likely that we'll won't see these players for 3, maybe even 4 years.
We'll deal with that proper.
Sure.
But
I figured just throw that out there just to kind of make things interesting and add to our discussions here.
All right. Well, let's take a moment to get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Paul in Buffalo, welcome in. What you got, man?
Guys, if I were designing a small market off season, now granted, there's still months to go, as you said, it would look just like this, though, if I was designing a small market off season. It doesn't pass my notice that Olin Zellweger can be given a $900,000 qualifying offer, and that Ryan McLeod, who instead of moving, because he is a good regular season player on a $5 million contract, we could have moved him any number of teams in this league for a draft pick and given that extra $5 million to Alex Tuch. We're keeping Ryan McLeod and we're letting a truly elite player in Alex Tuch, not letting, we let a truly elite player in Alex Tuch go to an Eastern Conference rival. And we are a far lesser team without Alex Tuch and Bowen Byram. To think that Owen Zellweger is going to come in and replace what Bowen Byram did, who stepped up and was great in the playoffs for us, and Alex Tuch, who is a force all season long, just a force all season, plays the 200-foot game incredibly. I mean, I tell you, there better be a whale coming back, because more kids who aren't in the lineup next year does not help me get to my goal, because we were one goal from the Eastern Conference Finals. That means the standard for next season is the Eastern Conference Final. And right now, the only way we're getting there is if Rasmus Dahlin isn't just the Norris Trophy finalist. He needs to win the Norris Trophy next year. Tage Thompson needs to win the Rocket Richard. And our goalies, who are all three question marks in my mind, all got to come up 7-11 again, like they did last year, until the playoffs when we needed them.
Paul, I don't understand where you're coming from with small market style offseason here. It's one day of the draft.
One day.
It's one day. Oh, we're keeping Ryan McLeod. Here you are with the Ryan McLeod thing again, Paul. So really great job coming, bringing this scar back. Sometimes you need a third line center. That's what you need in a season. By the way, he led tied for the lead in NHL shorthanded goals. That's a thing that happened.
Right.
He's a good
two-way shorthanded
also,
guy.
Why would I not suspect that the Sabres suspect Zellweger would help replace some of Byram's production? They traded for him with some of the pieces from the Byram trade.
Free agency
starts on July 1st.
It's a bit much.
The Sabres still have $13.7 million of cap space. And by the way, and this is a point that Zach Jones brought up yesterday and I think needs to be said on repeat, none of the big names moved. None of them.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we got random J.J. Paterka trade.
Mason McTavish is probably the biggest move.
He was the one on anyone's like rumor list that actually got moved.
Yes.
We got random J.J. Paterka trade before we got big fish moved.
To overreact, though, to letting Alex Tuch walk and trading Bowen Byram, I get it. Alex Tuch was a very good two-way forward, but I think that what we saw from the younger talent that was on this roster at the end of the year last year, mind you, you also have a guy like Jiří Kulík who really started to come to his own at the end of the year before. That's promising. And again, they've got to come out and they've got to play in the regular season and do that. And they're banking on them to be able to step up and play at the NHL level right away. I get that. I understand that frustration is there and that risk is there. But in no way, human fashion or form, am I paying Alex Tuch more than $10 million with the contract that he's looking for.
It is the price to do business, but unfortunately, there's also the term.
And what is Bowen Byram looking for, too? Is he looking for $11 million from the back end? He's nowhere close to Rasmus Dahlin. And then to say, Rasmus Dahlin has to win the Norris Trophy. Tage Thompson has to win the Rocket Richard. I just want those guys to put up production and be where they were last year.
No,
because guess what? If they were there, the team is probably still going to be okay.
It's that the caller's acting like this team doesn't have the foundation here. So
716-803-0550
is the number to call. We got to take a break here. Derek Kramer, Brayton Wilson here with you. This is WGR. Day two coverage of the NHL draft. And that coverage on WGR is brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's a place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years, shop the family of finer foods. Derek Kramer, Brayton Wilson here with you for another minute in hour number two of our coverage of day two of the NHL draft. We are careening into the end of the third round. While Zach Jones had a, let's call it hopeful timeline.
Oh, buddy, you're not... You're not getting this done.
Yeah, this ain't getting done by the time you take over at 2 o'clock there, Zach. But we are moving pretty quickly here through the first two rounds. Again, like I said, we're heading pretty quickly into the end of round three.
There's 11
the
picks
Sabres
left in the third.
Select in round four.
124. Yep.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke. So while Brayton can't talk now for the rest of this 30 seconds, Ray, you're on hold. Stay there. We'll take you on the other side as we continue to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sabres pick at 124. We're currently at 87. Will there be other moves made? We're seeing the likes of a Brendan Carlo getting traded, amongst others. Let's give us some more action, NHL. Feed me the trades.